What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. We're out west, Ashburn, VA. Brian and I are out here for Commanders training camp in advance of Monday night's game against the Bengals. Good morning, B.
How what up, doing? Brother? I'm chilling. How you doing?
I'm good. You were missed yesterday. How was
What's that?
Yeah, people asked me where you were. I was like, he's got an event.
I was chilling. I was eating wings. Landfill, you would have loved it.
How many wings did you put down yesterday?
I had, each company gave us 2 wings, so 20 wings.
Oh, that's not what I, so this was like a serious competition, not like I'm going to eat 100 wings and hang out.
No, it was like they gave me 20 wings, and then they had beer and wine, and yeah, it was good, good place.
That's great. Who won?
I forgot the name of the damn company, man, and I know I was going to get asked that question.
Well, congrats to
them. They were damn good. Their wings were good.
I went to an event last night, Haymakers for Hope, where these folks were boxing and raised a ton of money for various.
Did you get in?
I did not.
You should have.
No, I'm good.
We want to see your face get beat in.
I was good with my location up on the. I'd never been up. So we just bought like general admission tickets at the Anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all the way up on the 3rd floor, I guess. And it was still, like, a great view. It was a lot of fun. My boy Coley fought really hard. It was a good fight. A lot of these fights are good. A lot of these people, I feel like, are really stepping out of their comfort zone to go fight. We enjoyed it. I had never been, before we went into the Anthem, you know how there's that, like, outdoor, like, margarita bar?
Yeah.
Have you been in there?
Yeah.
I'd never been in there. That place was pretty cool.
Real good.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good, fun night. Got home, watched some football, and Brian, I need to report something.
What's the report?
Aaron Rodgers looks pretty good.
He did last night.
Yo, like, he started to look like himself again.
He did. He did look good last night. And then again, it was the Patriots.
Well, dude, it we're going to have to get used to it, but the Pats are cooked. Like, that offensive line last night, I mean, Brissett finished the game 12 of 18 for 98 yards. I'm curious how many sacks they had. Like, I mean, the Jets defense, oh, my God. Have you looked at these numbers?
I saw Jacoby last night, 89 yards, 97 yards passing.
Yeah, no, but the sack numbers.
No, I didn't see that. All I know, I saw Wichita come in the game, almost throwing an interception, and then got smashed in the face.
How many sacks do you think they had last night?
9.
7.
Okay.
And, I mean, the QB hits, I can't even add that number up while I'm on the air. I mean, the hits has to
you
be.
You can't add that up if you were off the air.
Up over 10.
Let's be real.
You know, I picked the Jets to win the Super Bowl. It's one of the more outlandish things I've done. I generally.
It's not happening, though.
That team last night was pretty damn good.
They played against a bad team.
Yo, the other running back they have, the kid Braylon Allen, the rookie. That's a hell of a 1-2 punch. He's an athlete, dude.
That's the big number zero. Zero dude?
Yeah. Because Brees Hall, I think, wears 20.
Mm-hmm.
May came in, was 4 of 8 in mop-up duty. You think that's a right spot to put him in?
Well,
because I think Jacoby honestly needed a break.
You have to eventually put him in. And I think everyone still wants everybody in football to be in bubble wrap, but hell, you're going to be in the physical game. You got to get in there at some point.
I'm not saying bubble wrap, but I'm just like.
But still, you put him in the game and say, hey, we want you to get rid of the ball quick. Eventually, you got to do it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you know that the plan is to eventually play him. I'm just saying, he goes in the game.
He got smashed in the face.
He got smashed. I think they were down. All right, so he comes in the 4th quarter, and they're down 24-6. I guess it's a really low-pressure situation. Like, what are you hoping to get out of him? There was a moment, and I had people texting me this last night, because I think the Pats had a reasonable drive going late in that game before he took another sack. So they had a 1st and 10 from the Jets 22. And people are like, oh, my God, is Drake May going to be the one? And then they had 1st and goal from the 7. And then he took a sack, and then the game ended.
Yeah.
But people are like, is Drake May going to be the first rookie to throw for a touchdown? Because Caleb hasn't done it, Jaden hasn't done it, Bo Nix hasn't done it.
And if he had been, does that change up what's going on?
I don't care.
I mean, That would be people out there. If he threw it, then they would be trying to put him up top real quick.
Right.
And I would just tell them to take a one-finger salute and keep moving.
Right. Now, we did a thing yesterday that I think was actually more relevant and more interesting, that the first rookie quarterback to 5 passing touchdowns, I kind of care more about. Because that shows that you're doing something consistent.
5 overall, you mean.
5 passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Knicks and Jaden have both scored on the ground, but nobody has a passing touchdown yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, one, if you throw 5 in a single game, you had a hell of a game.
Hell of a game.
But, two, the odds are that's going to be over 3 games probably at the current rate.
Possibly.
And I just thought that was more relevant than whoever gets the first one. I doubt this made your radar yesterday, but did you hear Mel Kiper freaking out about the use of 2 high safeties in the NFL?
Nope. He's mad at that?
He wants to ban it. He wants to ban it.
See, this is my problem.
Because passing numbers are down.
First of all, they've been using 2 high safeties. Okay?
Like, Tampa 2 was made legendary.
But eventually...
Weren't they doing that when you were playing?
The offense got to figure something out.
Right.
This is the problem I have with football altogether. I've been an offensive player my whole damn life. Why is it that we got to handcuff the defense all the damn time? If they start to figure it out, let the offensive coaches figure it out. Because based off of what Mel Kiper is losing his mind over, and most of the NFL, most of the offensive coaches are not that damn good, and the rules have been made to make them have the advantage.
I mean, the passing numbers are way down. Through 2 weeks, passing touchdowns are almost
half. So is football just for to get passing touchdowns? Is football about winning? Show me who's the best out there.
Here's where I land. Listen, it's our job. It's our profession. You did it at the highest level for a long time. Eventually, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, have you enjoyed football any less?
I enjoy the hell out of it.
Yeah, dude.
But the problem,
I don't understand the consternation.
I despise the mindset that offense is only supposed to be good.
Right. I'm with you.
I despise that. You know, and this is the problem. Like, we have guys that play the game that are commentators, and you listen to them commentate, it's like they have an agenda. I mean, dude, get the hell out the way, let the people play, and the best team wins. We can't say, oh, they're catching up with them, let's give them another advantage. To hell with that. People were throwing touchdowns on the Tampa 2 and 2-man deep all the time. Now you got to get back to utilizing that. They had started running high safety and man-to-man so much, it's easier. But now you got to think a little bit more. You can figure it out because, let's be real, those safeties got a whole half of the field. All you got to do is get somebody crossing one of them, facing somebody else coming around, you can still throw touchdowns.
Totally. A lot of it is, I think offenses are now so focused on controlling everything, and as they've gotten away from the run, a lot of these passes are at or near the line of scrimmage, and everybody's so focused on completion percentage and efficiency numbers that, like, a lot of just taking a deep shot just it has been play called out.
It's play called out, but the thing I watch Miami, I was watching Kansas City, they do this all day.
The crossers.
And if you throw a crossing route to Xavier Worthy or to Tyreek, and they catch it at 18 and they run another 60 or 45, whatever hell you want to run, does that make it any less exciting?
I mean, honestly, one of the best.
Mel Kiper need to be quiet. A lot of coaches don't respect him anyway. A lot of front office people don't respect him.
Remember that
because he think he knows every damn thing. He better shut up for all the defensive coaches hate him.
There was that famous clip. This had to be 25 years.
About Mel Kiper not – did anybody hire him yet?
No, the whoever the Colts GM way back then was, he said, who the hell is Mel Kiper? But remember when Deshaun was here, how good he was on those long crossers?
Yeah.
Like, speed is speed, and you can use it horizontally to still get open and then go vertical.
When a quarterback drops back and he sees color, he normally goes away from that receiver, right? When he sees opposing color.
Right.
When the opposing color crosses a safety face, he normally hesitates a little bit. And if you're smart enough to draw a thing where the opposing Cutler goes across that safety fence, he hesitates just a little, and you got somebody doing this, or you got somebody coming here, you still can get it done.
Right. You can still go backside vertical on away from where the crosser is.
Yeah. So, and if I can send two, I can send one up the numbers, a little bit outside the numbers, one up the hash, that safety has to decide on one of them, right?
I think more so than anything is the cyclical nature of the quarterback position. And I think there's just like not the amount of star quarterbacks that existed for 10, 15 years. And these younger guys will evolve and maybe become that, or they won't, but like that's – just where
I think it's
are.
Also where we are so vanilla in preseason, and then we automatically assume that they're going to just drop it and everything is going to work once the season starts. It doesn't. And the offenses are so complicated today, it takes a little more time.
Right.
Defense, what do you normally have to do as a defensive player? Put your hand in the ground and rush the damn passer. You know, that's what they normally do.
You can dress it up a million ways, but that's basically what they do. Right.
But the offense, they got all this movement and all this stuff, and that takes a little time to come together to be very, very fluid.
Well, I also think you look at last week. Bucks-Lions was a hell of a football game between two very good teams. The final score was 20-16. You want to say that's low scoring, fine, but it doesn't make it not a good game. You know, like, I think, honestly, Commanders-Giants, not a lot of touchdowns in that game, but if you were just a football fan that didn't identify with a team, you just, hey, I like football, and you get dropped in Northwest Stadium to watch that game, it's an entertaining game. It was back and forth. There was a lot of action.
Listen, man,
down to the wire. Like the Bengals, Chiefs.
The fans sitting in the stands.
Game.
The fans sitting in the stands had no less excitement. It's these damn people that they want to present it to how they want it to be, so they can say, "Oh, look what I did." If it's about the fan participation and fan entertainment, fans enjoyed it. They're enjoying football still.
The difference, perhaps, is as they have grown the game to become this fantasy DFS gambling, anytime.
The gambling is fine,
like but, all that stuff.
Don't make fantasy more important than a damn actual game.
Sure, but those are the people that are probably frustrated. Honestly, the people that have come into it.
Let's be real. Those are the people that are frustrated. The people that you're competing against are dealing with the same situations, right? So if you ever scoring more points, maybe you'd be getting your ass kicked still. If you're getting your ass kicked now, right, you'll still be getting your ass kicked, right?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Listen, the problem I've always had, we always are trying to change up stuff for the person that's the least interested in the actual game.
Squeaky wheels.
We got to stop that.
Yeah. I think I'd argue that's the problem with society.
That's
as
what
whole,
I'm saying.
Is that like, yo, I think
just because a person is loud don't mean they're the majority now.
80% of the world sees things pretty damn similarly, and yet we let the 10% on either fringe dictate terms for everybody else.
To hell with them.
Some news. Let's start with the stream is up and running. Shout out to Jeff. YouTube.com/1067TheFan, maybe. If you want to watch the stream, we're there. Our guy that is a very active listener, Sir Titus Jones, I think it's Titus is his first name, heading to the hospital, baby boy on the way.
Congratulations, Titus.
Congrats, man. That's awesome.
The winner of the wing thing was Ghosted Concepts.
Ghosted Concepts.
There you go.
We're available if you want to drop some off in Akron.
We'll take the concept.
More news.
Don't ghost us, though.
Breaking news on the fan. You ready for this? It appears today is the day we are celebrating Chris Russell.
This coffee is like sludge.
Yo, you keep going to that Starbucks and
it's a totally different coffee.
No.
I didn't say it sucks. It's this one is thicker because they added an extra shot of the espresso in there.
That's just what we need is you with extra shots of espresso.
Yeah. It's a totally different Starbucks, though. I didn't go to the one by the house.
Okay. Today is Chris Russell's birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Roos. You can take any of the food you want out of the refrigerator.
Especially if Jeff's name's on it. However,
take the one that don't have a name on it, like it's yours.
However, I have somewhere between sad, bad, perplexing news specific to Chris Russell.
We'll take it.
If it's
bad, Landfill will love it.
Well, Landfill, perhaps I need to hear from you on this then. per Chris Russell. So this is not per source. This is from the source. Rooster says, now we all know when he's wearing his burgundy shirt at the office what that's about,
yeah,
right?
Special night.
He says he threw that shirt out.
Oh.
I don't know what the hell that means.
Well, he must have a new shirt now because something happened in a new color.
Maybe he's becoming a priest.
Now, that right there, that'll be the day.
Perhaps.
Why he threw his shirt out? Oh, he trying to deceive people now. He don't want to wear the burgundy shirt anymore because every time he wears it, I'm sure people like even out in the public are saying, "Yo, burgundy shirt, Bruce." Woo-hoo!
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Well, Bruce, text us and let us know why you're getting rid of the shirt.
Let's all make a guess why Bruce got rid of his burgundy shirt. Landfill, are you officially in the building saying he's converting to priesthood?
Yes.
Okay, that's one theory.
I think his lady has another favorite color, so he's going to wear that color.
Okay, B. Mitch is voting new favorite color. Jeff, do you have a guess why Chris Russell's throwing away his favorite burgundy shirt that only means one thing?
He definitely got another shirt. He must have. and you know what it was? He got the best-looking lady he ever seen in his life. He bagged her and I wouldn't be surprised if it was like turquoise. He
done changed to a Miami Dolphins.
No, I know what it was.
He's coming in like Charlotte Hornets.
So Rooster for his birthday, I'm not sure if it was Matt Essick, but they got him a vest, like a Stone Cold Stunner vest.
Oh, he's going to start wearing the vest now. Uh-oh.
I told him, I said, Rooster, you got to wear that with no shirt under it. Like, you just got to put the vest on.
Now, that's a picture I can't wait to see.
But the thing was, he looked at me like, no, I ain't going to do that. But you know when somebody say they're not going to do something and then they
his wheels were turning.
Oh, yeah, he did it last night.
He was like, yeah. He went in the mirror last night, babe, what you think? What
probably
you think?
In the sleaziest of
bars, too. That's going to be his new thing. Yeah.
All right, well, listen.
That's a good guess there, Jeff.
B. Mitch and I are out in Ashburn, so Jeff and Landfill, we're going to need you guys to investigate what exactly is going on with Chris, and we want to wish him.
If he walks in there with that damn vest on today.
We also want to wish Rooster a very happy birthday.
If you don't walk in with that vest on today or that burgundy shirt, that's a weird birthday.
All right.
You're supposed to bring your birthday in with a bang, brother.
We have a packed show. Maryland Governor Wes Moore will join us at 11:15 to make his picks. Charlie Goldsmith from the Cincinnati Inquirer will join us at high noon. Get us all the way up to date on the Bengals, including if T. Higgins is going to be back on the field. Kevin Harlan joining us at 1 o'clock. Really excited to talk to Kevin, one of the absolute best play-by-play guys across the country. Coming up next, I am making time for this. Shohei, what he's doing, listen, we are a football show.
The man is unbelievable.
We are a football show. I don't pretend not to be. Shohei hit three jacks last night to go over 50-50. Baseball's coming down to the wire. Sadly, my Orioles are kind of falling apart. Mike Beasley joins us next. Baseball recap, getting us ready for October, baby.